guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker with a face for radio and a voice for print. You know, I usually put together some fun videos out there, but this week I've been trying to do a little bit more serious stuff just because, you know, it's important that we talk about kind of guys' stuff and men's issues. And it's always fun to poke fun of some of the articles that I come across that has women complaining about something or another. But this is an interesting story because I actually came across a thread in the men's rights forum on Reddit, and I don't spend much time there anymore. But this was a link, and I looked at the profile, and it's legit. It's not someone trolling or anything like that. And it's their experience taking a transition from being a woman to a man. It's their life as a man and what they've seen the difference is. And, you know, it's the old expression is you've never known someone until you walk a mile in their shoes. And this is interesting because now it is a woman literally living life as a man and seeing what it's like. And they do say that there's a difference, and they're surprised how alone they feel in many cases and how outside they feel. Let's get recording, and then we'll talk about it. So this is from the Men's Rights Forum on Reddit. And it says, are men treated better than women? And here's a transitioned man's point of view. I've always thought that sexism, be it misogyny or misandry, can be understood through experience. I'm a transitioned man, which means I have experienced both being perceived as a woman and being a man by society. So here's my experience and the reason I'm an MRA. So this is a woman that became a man and then said, well, I'm going to be a men's rights activist. Background. Female to male, I spent the first 18 years of my life as a girl woman and these last two as a man. My experiences as a woman. The good. Most people treated me very well. Those who didn't mistreated me because I'm autistic, not because I was a girl. I was never made to feel bad whenever I asked for help. People were happy to help me. Guys were happy to help me with emotional issues particularly. Whenever I was having a bad day, they were happy to talk to me and keep me company. These are guys that would be interested in the girl if they remain just friends without any romantic attraction. Not always, but traditionally. Overall, my mental health and well-being was taken more seriously. Additionally, it was easier to make friends. From what I can tell, others just felt more comfortable around me and felt safer sharing their problems with me. Guys do not share problems with women, or they shouldn't in just about any situation. Now, you can share it with your guy friends, but it's just nobody likes an emotional, needy man. It makes people uncomfortable. Is that societal? Is that something that's in our genetics? I don't know. I can't answer that. But I do know, as a guy, you don't want to be perceived as being weak. The last thing, and I won't mention the YouTuber, but there was a YouTuber that traditionally had a large, large number of views on their video. And in one, they were talking about something and having a hard moment, and they cried a little bit, and they got made fun of. And this is from their own fans. So, you know, it's one of those situations as a man, you just cannot expect to share your emotions. And is that right? No, but that, again, is whether that's societal or whatever it is, I don't know. Okay, so the experiences as a man, the good. Socially, nothing really improved. I hear some people say that men are taken more seriously with certain things, especially when it comes to the workplace. But at my work, men and women are treated the same. I feel more confident now, but that's because of my dysphoria has lessened considerably. The bad. I don't feel comfortable asking for help anymore, especially when it comes to mental things. Wherever or whenever I do, people are less enthusiastic about helping me. I've also seen a decrease in the quality of help I receive. I also find that it's harder to talk to people. It's like they just aren't as comfortable around me and don't trust me as much. It's hard to make friends compared to a few years ago. People overall treat me neutrally and sometimes slightly negatively. I've noticed strangers are more wary around me. Nothing like pulling their kids away or clutching their purses harder, but they tend to stay further distance away and don't make eye contact with me as often. Not that I mind, but it's something I've noticed. Final thoughts. It was a jarring experience. I went from being treated like how a person should be treated, trusted, listened to, etc., to being treated well, like a man. In my experience, I've been treated far worse as a man, and I by no means regret the transitioning in any way, but I really wish someone would have prepared me for this. And then I have one more article I'm going to move over to, but you know, I wanted to touch on this because so many times it seems that people can understand what everybody goes through. And that's not the way it is. And especially with for some reason, the big theme of the girl power movement is that men have it easy and men are the ones in charge and men have all the power. But the truth of it is, the reason why oftentimes men are very successful in work and are financially more secure is because they don't have a good social life. And if you are a little bit awkward or you're not good at making friends, many men decide to dive into their work and at least to make more money so they can find other ways to make them happy. And I don't think women do that as much. They're much more socially inclined. There's case study after case study after case study showing how men are more solitary and women enjoy the more group dynamics. It's why men can work alone and do jobs like security guards or so on and so forth. They can do many, many jobs where they can work alone and they're fine being alone, living alone, etc., where women don't. And that's just the dynamics of, I believe, genetics and society. This other article here is from the Washington Post, and this was done a couple years ago, and it's called Crossing the Divide. And kind of the same thing. These are stories from women that became men, and they found out, well, things are a little bit more complex. Let me get right down to where they start talking about it here. So this is from Tristan Cotton, and this is someone who's 50 now that did their transition. And they did it back in 2008, so about 10 years ago. So around the age of 40, this woman decided to become a guy. It says, life doesn't get easier as an African-American male. The way that police officers deal with me, the way that racism undermines my ability to feel safe in the world, affects my mobility, affects where I go. Other African-American and Latino Americans grew up as boys and were taught to deal with that at an earlier age. I had to learn from my black and brown brothers about how to stay alive in my new body and retain some dignity while being demeaned by the cops. Now, I don't know, they're in Berkeley, California. You know, and Berkeley is a very, very left-leaning, very liberal area, so I'm surprised, shocking, that they would be harassed and treated by, you know, cops poorly. I'd think that only would happen in the South or someplace that was truly bad. One night, somebody crashed a car into my neighbor's house. I called 911. I walked out to talk to the police officer. He pulls a weapon on me and says, stop, stop, get on the ground. I turned around to see if there's someone behind me, and he says, you, get on the ground. I'm in pajamas and barefoot. I get on the ground, he checks me, and afterwards I said, what was that all about? He says, you were moving kind of funny. Later, people told me, man, you're crazy. You never call the police. I get pulled over a lot more now. I get pulled over more in the first 2 years after my transition that I did the entire 20 years I was driving as a woman before that. Before, when I'd been stopped even for real life violations, like driving 100 miles an hour, I got off. In fact, when it happened in Atlanta, the officer and I got into a great conversation about the Braves. Now the first two questions they ask are, do you have any weapons in the car, and am I on parole or probation? And this is a picture of him here, and you can see he's gone bald, and he's got the full body tats. A couple years after my transition, I had a grad student I'd been mentoring. She started coming on to me, stalking me, sending me emails and text. I thought only men did that to women. It couldn't be that a female student would do that to a male professor. Shocking. My advisor and then dean, both women, laughed it off. It went on for the better part of a year, and that was the year I was going up for tenure. It was a very scary time. I felt worried that if the student felt that I was not returning her attentions, she would claim that I had done bad things to her. I felt like, as a guy, I was not taken seriously. I had experienced being harassed as a female person at another university, and they had reacted immediately, sending an escort with me to and from campus. I felt like I had still been in my old body, I would have gotten a lot more support. Let me move on to another story here. This is Xander Keeg, 52, who did the switch in 2005, so about 13 years ago, put him right around 40 years old again. He says, I feel it's now as I'm it now feels as though I'm on my own. Coast Guard veteran, works at Naval Medical Center. He says, prior to my transition, I was an outspoken radical feminist. I spoke up often, loudly and with confidence. I was encouraged to speak up. I was given awards for my efforts, literally. It was like, oh yeah, speak up, speak out. When I speak up now, I am often given the direct or indirect message that I am mansplaining, taking up too much space, or asserting my white male heterosexual privilege. Never mind that I'm a first-generation Mexican-American, as a transitioned man and married to the same woman I was with prior to my transition. This is important because it shows you that here, when before, she was a very proud supporter of women's movement, a very proud supporter of women's issues. Then, becoming a man, he still wanted to support all these issues, still wanted to support these things, and they basically told him to shut up. You don't know what it's like. But he did know what it was like, or at least he used to know what it was like. And he's Latino, a Mexican American, and now they basically told him, shut up, white boy. See, it's interesting how now supposedly he should have all the power because now he's a white guy, right? He should be able to control the system because that's what we do, right? Patriarchy, and we control the system when we have all the power. But all of a sudden he said, holy cow, I have zero power. I can't speak about lots of things. I'm basically told to shut up. It's interesting how, again, you don't see this until you're actually in the shoes, and then you kind of say, oh, this isn't quite what I expected it to be. I find the assertion that I am now unable to speak on issues I find important offensive, and I refuse to allow anyone to silence me. My ability to empathize has grown exponentially because now I factor men into my thinking and feel about their situations. Prior to it, I rarely considered how men experienced life or what they thought, wanted, or liked about their lives. I have learned so much about the lives of men through my friendships with men, reading books and articles, and for men, and through men, I served as a licensed clinical social worker. I find this so fascinating. Here, he even says that when he was she, he never ever thought about what men needed, what they thought about, what they considered. I didn't think about their life experiences. I didn't really give them any thought at all. I didn't care about them. Yet these are the same ones that are screaming to the high heavens, equality, we want equality, we want equality. Well, how do you want equality when you don't even think about the person you're supposedly trying to be equal to? No, it's all about superiority, dominating, and improving oneself, not really caring about the other person. And obviously he finds out a little too late. Plenty of research shows that life events, medical conditions, and family circumstances impact men and women differently. But when I would suggest that patient behavioral issues like anger or violence may be a symptom of trauma or depression, it was often get dismissed or outright challenged. The overarching theme was men are violent, and there was no excuse for their actions. Again, same thing. You know, when there is trauma or there is something that's happened to a guy, whether it was in his youth or when he's older, these have real effects on their behavior and their issues. And once they become men, if they, you know, for example, if they have a woman or a spouse or somebody yell at them or physically come after them, and they have a violent reaction because of some traumatic, it doesn't matter. They're just carted off to prison, and there's do not pass go, do not collect $200, and there is no help for them. It's just they're just incarcerated. This is one of the reasons why I think a lot of men end up having issues, and especially from veterans returning from overseas conflict where they have a lot of problems and they get very little help, and they many times end up taking their own lives. They end up living on the streets and having bad problems. It's one of the reasons why I was in the military myself for 4 years. But now when a young person says, hey, should I join the military? I say, oof, no way. You don't get nearly the support and the help that you need should something go wrong. Let me move on to, and I'm going to leave this link down below. I really invite you guys to read this. You know, some of you are more traditional, but no matter how you view the transitioning kind of thing, whether you agree with it or not. It is a part of society, and this is what we talk about, stoicism, understanding both sides of the coin. I think this is a really good read, and I recommend for you to read the full article down below, because this is a wonderful way to understand. And for women that watch this, please, definitely, because you'll understand more about the plights that men go through from former women. We move on to this next one. When I began, a lot of my socialization came from the guys at work. For example, as a woman, I'd walk down the hall and bump into some of my female coworkers, and they'd say, "Hey, what's up?" And I'd say, "Oh, I just got out of this client meeting. They ended all my scripts, and now I have to go back and rewrite everything, blah, blah, blah. What's up with you?" And then they'd tell me their stories. As a guy, I'd bump into a guy in the hall, and he says, "Hey, what's up?" And I'd launch into a story about my day, and he's already down the hall. And I'm thinking, well, that's rude. So I think, okay, well, I guess guys don't really share, so next time I'll keep it brief. By the third time, I realized you just nod. Yep, and it's I've had this challenge in relationships with my family, with all any women, but guys get it. "Hey, how was work today?" "Good." There you go. That's a guy's conversation on work. "Hey, how's work?" "That's good, man. Nothing really crazy." Cool. That's it. Women, "Oh, first Peggy, and then I went to lunch with Anne, and then. And that's just part of the nature. That's part of the social construct that I was explaining before. We guys don't really have that, unless something really dramatic happened. But even then, a lot of times, unless it's, like, I've had fire alarms go off at work, and you stand outside for half an hour in the sun, and, you know, food was late, and I didn't get to leave late, and I had a couple clients upset about stuff. And at the end of that day, how's work? "That's all right." That's it. Like, well, that's what we do. That's guys. I think it's testosterone. I really do. The creative department is largely male, and the guys accepted me into the club. I learned by example and modeled my professional behavior accordingly. For example, I kept noticing that if guys wanted an assignment, they'd just ask for it. If they wanted a raise or promotion, they'd ask for it. This was a foreign concept to me. As a woman, I never felt that it was polite to do that, or I had the power to do that. But after seeing it happen all around me, I decided that if I felt something, I was going to ask for it. By doing that, I took control of my career. It was very empowering. This is part of what they talk about with the wage gap, and with men making true wage gap being between 5 and 8%. Between men and women. Once you take out the overtime that men work, once you take out the night shifts that men will volunteer for, and the overtime that men will volunteer for, it really boils down to, they approximate between 5 and 8%. This is the 5 and 8%, men being aggressive and going, "Look, I did a great job on that, I deserve pay, or I want that assignment because I want to prove myself, I'll take it." Here it is, firsthand, coming from a prior woman's mouth. Apparently, people were only holding the door open for me because I was a woman rather than out of common courtesy, as I had assumed. Not just men, women too. I learned this the first time I left the house presenting as male, when a woman entered the department store in front of me and just let the door swing shut behind her. I was so caught off guard, I walked into it face first. Yeah, people don't, I mean, unless you're a cool dude holding it for another cool dude. Sometimes we will do that. Or you're a polite person. I hold open the door if someone I see is coming right for it, my hands on it. But if I open up a door and walk through it, I'm not going to pause and turn around and look to see if someone's behind me or that I need to hold it. Now, this is interesting. Testosterone made me more impatient. I had lots of female friends, and one of the qualities they loved about me when that I was a great listener. After being on testosterone, they informed me that my listening skills weren't what they used to be. Here's an example. I'm driving one of my best friends, Beth, and I asked her, "Is your sister meeting us for dinner?" 10 minutes later, she's still talking. I have no idea if her sister is coming. So finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I snapped and said, "Is she coming or not?" And Beth was like, "You know, you used to be like hearing all the backstory and how I'd get around to the answer. A lot of us have noticed you've become very impatient lately, and we're thinking it's that testosterone. It's definitely true that some male behavior is governed by testosterone. Instead of listening to a woman's problem and being empathic and nodding along, I would do the stereotypical guy thing, interrupt and provide a solution to cut the conversation short and move on. I'm trying to be better about this." Yes, because we men just don't want to sit and listen to the endless stories. It's just not who we are. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. I don't see a lot in the last story that's much different from the other ones. But the takeaway here is that, you know, women oftentimes think that they understand how it is to be a guy. that everybody, that we have all the power in the world and everybody listens to us and life is easy and we control everything. That's not the way it goes. Societally, we're not listened to much anymore. We're not given a voice to speak our minds. We're castigated as second-class citizens, and we aren't really allowed to talk on things that we aren't a part of. I, as a good way to put this was, is a very left-leaning professor, white female, can speak on the problems of minorities, and she's given a pass. But as a white guy, I can't speak on anything about any minority, I think what this minority needs or what I've noticed, nope, I don't get to talk about that because I'm not part of that group. And women can seem to talk endlessly about men's issues, and they're given an ear, even if they've never lived a moment in a guy's shoes. But when a man wants to speak out about a woman's issue, not that he knows, but just here's what I've noticed, or here's what studies say, they say, shush, you're not allowed to talk because you're not a woman. So the only thing that I'm allowed to talk to about society's problems and society's issues are either if I'm pro everything else or I'm putting down white guys. I can't talk about any other issue because I'm not allowed to know, because I'm part of the patriarchy, you see. I'm part of the problem because I have all the privilege. And as you can see in these stories, these are women that are now relating as, are now recognizing their as men, and they're saying, you know something, I don't have a voice anymore. No one listens to me. No one takes me seriously anymore. If I try to explain something, I'm mansplaining. And I it's harder to make friends. People don't listen to me as much. It's not as easy as you think. And I thought this was a fascinating read. Again, I'll leave it down below for you guys if you'd like to read through it. But I think this shows a lot that for everybody that says men have all this power, we don't. And they don't realize it until they start looking at life through our eyes. And then they realize all of a sudden, you know, this isn't so easy. And now I'm kind of an outsider. And now I'm alone. And it's not as easy as they think. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below as always if you have. Thank you very much. And the best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe. And don't forget to check my Locals page, locals.betterbachelor.com. We have a forum going over there. It is free speech forum. You can say what you want. Your topics can be what they want as far as being about the manosphere and things like that. We've got over 500 members now, and I think 50 or so supporters. So come on over. You can support my channel, and you can get in on some of the backyard fun that we guys are having. Guys, I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. And remember, grass is always greener on the other side of the fence until you get over there. And then you realize when you're on the man's side of the fence, it's not green at all. It's actually pretty tough. ¶¶